Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. It's Friday, and it's gray out there, and there's the occasional snowflake going by. It's winter in Vancouver.
Tuesday, the snowstorm happened during afternoon rush hour. Some people needed 13 hours to get home. The snowplows couldn't get through the traffic.
You know, yeah. Some places it was a foot of fresh snow. So
yeah, and we're mountains, hills, and bridges. Not a good combo. Our first question today comes from Chris in Rhode Island. He has, I think, three questions. Well, Chris, let's dig in here. First, I'd like to thank you, Bob, for your forecasts. I've been following you since your calls in the 2007-08 financial crisis. Your record has been sterling, even golden.
Oh, wow, like that one.
Well, okay, we'll just stop there. Bob, I'm curious about your current take on digital currencies. He says, every other day I'm reading about central bank digital currencies known as CBDCs. Sounds like a drug.
Yeah.
I've learned that in the U.S. our central bank is owned by commercial banks. Yes, it is, just like the Bank of Canada. While other central banks like the European Central Bank, Bank of England, and Bank of Japan are owned by their governments. Is this difference between the U.S. Fed and other central banks meaningful?
They're all the same. They're run by economists with the same degrees, PhDs, of course. We used to have a gold standard, for a while it was a gold equivalent standard, and now we can call it the PhD standard. It's whatever these idiot savants think a currency should be.
I was going to say, and they've all worked at either J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yeah.
So they all sing the same song, and I think they do whatever's good for J.P. Morgan.
Yeah. So, no, they're all the same, and ideas about digital currencies. No, I think we can look at history and realize that the market forces decide which currency will be the senior currency. And it also decides voluntarily which financial center will be the world's financial center. And the senior currency is the U.S. dollar, and the world's financial center is New York. And that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And any of these schemes that these central bankers come up with are just schemes. Very few of them have read any history, I think that as this post-bubble contraction continues, suddenly one day folks are going to look at the Federal Reserve and say, look, you could spend trillions of dollars trying to prevent bad things from happening. Ain't working. So I think eventually, there is some need of sort of a central bank, but it needs to be disciplined with a gold standard. And times will get back to that, I think. It'll be exciting. Hopefully I'm still around for it.
Another question from Chris. Given the authoritarian leanings of almost all governments in the world today, do we have another thing to add to the worry list called digital currencies?
Yeah, that we covered in the previous question. These guys will try and use anything for a currency, and the idea of a digital currency is that they're going to control the world with it. I don't think it's going to happen, as I say, with a as this post-bubble contraction extends, the public will look at the tout of the central banks. You know, it goes back, Jim, to before the Fed was formed and opened its doors for business in January 1914, the governing classes in New York and D.C. knew that if you had a financial crisis, it would be followed by a recession. Very clear. So then they invented this idea that the Federal Reserve would be the lender of last resort and would prevent a financial crisis, therefore preventing recessions. It's still an appealing theory. But there's been 19 recessions since that tout in the early 1900s. And it only takes one not working. But the faith of the interventionist economist in interventionist central banking is remarkable, and it's going to get another severe test. So good questions, these ones.
Well, wasn't Einstein's definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? Isn't that what the central bankers do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite so. Quite so. No, they never look at their own track record. And even just recently here, 5 years ago, the Federal Reserve and Bank of Canada were all dedicated that inflation was too low. We've got to increase the money supply. We've got to increase credit. So they're humping out the money supply, not understanding that the world was set up for another great financial bubble. So then all of a sudden, whoomph, you get into the financial bubble, of which you will have rising commodity prices anyways with the final business thrust. And then this one was made worse by the lockdown, shutting everything down. So you ended up with a very dramatic rise in prices, but basic commodities are rolling over and heading south. Some of the exotics like uranium and lithium are still up there, but, well, actually, uranium's not that high, but lithium is still very popular and up. But, hey, we're in a post-bubble contraction, and commodity prices on the longer term will be down.
If you recall, just over a year ago, the Fed was saying, this inflation thing, it's transitory, it'll just fade away on its own. They had the chance to put the brakes to it right there with just hiking interest rates once or twice instead of this continuous wave of hikes.
Going back a couple of years, they could have prevented it or made it less worse by not humping the money supply.
Exactly.
So, no, it's still an appealing theory, but it has never worked.
Now, our question from John concerns digital currency as well. He says, Uncle Bob. Oh, that's nice. Respect. Although it depends what kind of Uncle Bob is. The U.S. dollar is the last to fade to dust. What is the currency down the road? Will it be a seashell? Gold? Gold never worked. Silver was tried.
Yeah,
Bitcoin is a fraud. No patent was ever taken out on blockchain. What will be the best assets to survive if the U.S. dollar, the greenback, fades away?
It'll be the U.S. dollar. It's the senior currency by choice. And this goes all the way back to Roman times where you had the main trade in the denarius. And then in the 1300s, it was the Augsburg became an important silver camp. And then you had the Thaler, which is German for valley, and that was where a good coinage was coming out of, and it's all voluntary. And then eventually you had the financial center in Antwerp and then Amsterdam using the Dutch guilder, and then eventually in the beginning of 1700s, the financial market center moved to London, and sterling was the senior currency, and then now it's the U.S. dollar and as the senior currency, and it'll remain so until market history decides it's something else. But these digital currencies and all stuff are They're fantastic. Just something for idle brains.
Yeah, and the gold Spanish dollar had to be in that currency thing as well.
Oh, yeah. That's our 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar.
Yep. That they used to literally cut it into quarters, and that's why they called it a quarter. Yeah. We'll have more with Bob Hoy and some of his top headlines right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your attention. This headline, over 70% of children aged 7 to 12 are now afraid because of climate change.
Oh, yeah. Talk about brainwashing. That is so pathetic to read that. And yet, you know, with my grandson, one of which is 9 years old, and if you start trying to correct them, it gets difficult. So I've decided just to stay quiet about it and let the whole thing work its way out.
World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab declares China a role model. What kind of role model?
Oh, they love it. Of course, this is where Trudeau comes out with exactly the same view, that the Chinese totalitarian communism is the ideal model because you can get decisions done. And ironically, when Schwab came out with this, virtually at the same time, there were headlines in China about a popular uprising against the world's perfect government. Can you imagine? So I think, you know, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, Trudeau, World Economic Forum, they're out of touch with reality. It's just bloody hopeless. But again, I'm resting everything on a severe contraction that'll change people's point of view on all this nonsense. So,
sure. And our next two headlines show maybe Klaus Schwab is goose-stepping to a different model. Protests leave China facing a terrible trilemma, and China's zero-COVID protests create a rare nationwide coalition of interests. People are actually saying bad things about President Xi during these protests. It's not
This looks like a pretty impressive uprising to me, and I think it'll work out. Because you got the example there where the prosperity in China is in the southern provinces due originally to influences from Hong Kong and Taiwan. And yet you got up in Peking the communist government, and it's been living the good life with all the money rolling in from the boom, and that boom's going to go away, or has been fading, but the communist masters will want all those tax revenues to live their good life, and the folks in the southern provinces are going to give them the finger and say, up yours. And I think a major reform is possible in China. And I hope it happens while Klaus Schwab is still around so that he can see the error of his ways.
Credit Suisse shares having their worst run in 11 years. I've had other commentators on our show say it's probably one of the worst run banks in the world.
Yeah, well, they got themselves offside, and then the contraction came in, and then you have the scramble, and it's sort of mindful of Lehman Brothers, where suddenly they were discovered to be doing reckless things in 2007, 2008, and that nasty hit to the market. So, I remember there was a chess master, Tuckauer, I think his name was, and he said, all the mistakes have been made, just waiting to be discovered. Something like that.
Credit default ratio in Brazil hits its highest rate in almost 4 years.
Yep, that's another bad one. Very prosperous country, very big country, big economy, but facing the problem of over leverage, and it always comes back and bites you.
Housing demand vaporized after rates hit 7%.
Oh, yeah, that one's direct. I remember the real estate boom in Vancouver up to 1980. Some friends of mine were playing the markets quite aggressively, and they were, and then it stalled out, and that's when interest rates went up to 20%. But they were absolutely convinced that once interest rates settled down, the real estate market would head up, and that was not the case because interest rates go up with the boom, and then they go down with the bust. So this is what's facing real estate speculators more recently here now, is that, I remember also on that one, house prices up in the British properties, which is fairly upscale, magnificent view up the mountain, everything's great, and their prices fell rather quickly to one-third of the high. Whereas in Kerrisdale, you know, family-type neighborhood, very pleasant, but and they fell in half. So real estate prices can get hit very hard in Vancouver and in Toronto.
And our last headline, gloomiest in a decade, U.S. manufacturing into contraction. I thought they were trying to open up plants so they weren't dependent on China as much.
Well, that was a number, and it came out, and it was down, so manufacturing number is not good. So that's the way it is.
Now, they did add well over 200,000 new jobs last month. Canada only added 10,000.
Yeah, no, the jobs, I don't like talking employment numbers. They're weird even in the best of times. So, and also, you can't trade them, so why bother?
Okay. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, Chief Investment Strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.